Hi, this is Nita Strauss, and you're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, where we are changing rock history one podcast at a time. All right, today we have an interview with the one of the greatest rock guitarists in the world right now, Nita Strauss. I'm completely blown away and humbled by the fact that we have her on today. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to meeting Nita and having you guys all hear her story, which I'm sure is going to be absolutely fascinating. Can't wait. First things first, though, you are listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Check back often for more great interviews. We've been doing some great ones too. I've had Texas Hippie Coalition on here, Thunder Mother, some really cool bands, some great rock and roll. So you want to check that often at LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Also, don't forget to check out our live podcast every Monday evening, Eastern Time, about 9 p.m. We go live and we pick a cool topic, play some great music with my hosts, Lily V6 of Rock Rage Radio and Keith the Hawk Hawkins. And it's a lot of fun. We party it up pretty hard on the air, so you get to see us kind of in rare form. And you can find out more about that at LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. As I was telling you guys, Nita Strauss, L.A.-born guitarist, has really kind of taken rock by storm, you know, in the past few years or so with the different bands that she's been working with, starting with the Iron Maidens, Iron Maiden tribute band. She's been worked with Jermaine Jackson, and of course we all know her work with Alice Cooper and Femme Fatale. Nita, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay, now a little known fact, I don't know how, maybe it was, I just discovered this. You are a distant relative of some sort of Johann Strauss, Blue Danube.
Some sort of, yeah.
Yeah. That's, so there's music in the genes, you know, so to speak. So how did you get started? Like when did, you know, it kick in that like, wow, man, this music thing, this is for me. This is what I want to do.
It had to be when I was about 13 years old and I saw the movie Crossroads. Mm. And I'm sure most of the listeners are familiar with that movie. But for those who aren't, it's, you know, the story of a young guitar player and his journey. And there's a magical scene at the end of that movie. And that is what sparked my love of playing the guitar.
Was Steve Vai your first hero?
Steve Vai was my first and is still my biggest hero.
So you picked up the guitar after watching Crossroads. What type of stuff did you start out doing? Did you immediately jump into the shred thing, or were you like more into classic rock, blues? Like what was the sort of your forte in the beginning?
Oh, I was immediately into heavy metal and shred. You know, I didn't learn how to play any blues actually until I started playing with Alice Cooper. Funny enough, and that was 4 years ago, pretty soon. So yeah, I was into Metallica, Megadeth, and, you know, a lot of sort of really heavy death metal and metalcore and stuff, and that's what I liked, so that's what I was trying to learn. And when I started getting better at playing the guitar, I was listening to Malmsteen and Vai and Satriani and Racer X, you know, like I wanted to play fast. That's what I wanted to do back then. It's what I want to do now.
I heard a funny story about your audition, sending in an audition video for Alice Cooper, where maybe you went a little over the top.
That's what I do. Over the
like
top.
Like, Alice, you're going to play it my way, Alice. Okay, this is how it's going to go.
Well, the funny thing is, yeah, you know, it is a story I've told many times about how I did the audition for Alice Cooper and Bob Ezrin called me and basically told me that, you know, to go back and listen to Alice Cooper and listen to what the songs sound like and listen to, you know, what style of music they need. And he said, Alice Cooper doesn't need a shred guitar player. He needs a rock guitar player. And who's going to argue with Bob Ezrin? Bob Ezrin's the king. He's, you know, the undisputed king of making, you know, he has had such a huge influence on what shaped rock and roll music, you know, to what it is today. So, you know, I went through a few rounds of auditions and, you know, toned it down. And now the funny thing is, after a few years in the band, you know, Alice and the guys and everyone have just adapted to my style and what comes naturally to me so well that, you know, my shred stuff actually fits in really well with the band, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because when you see videos of you playing with them lately, yeah, you know, that's definitely comes out. It doesn't really look like you're holding much back. You know, it seems
like
you're definitely
like
putting it out there.
Told me. Yeah, then one of the first things he told me is, like, don't hold anything back. You know, I'm a performer. I always have been. And, you know, he basically just, you know, opens up the gate and lets me run. And it fits in really well with the show, I think.
Did you study with somebody, or are you completely self-taught?
No, I'm totally self-taught.
Wow. I didn't. I thought you were going to tell me you're a Musicians Institute student or something. Wow.
Nope. Couldn't afford it. No, I grew up about half an hour from Musicians Institute. I took the tour 4 times. I wanted to go there so badly, but I, little known fact, music school is very expensive.
Yeah.
You know, I could walk to MI now from where I live in Hollywood, and it's an expensive place to live, and it's an expensive school to go to, you know. And I didn't come from a family with a lot of, you know, a lot of resources, a lot of money, so, you know, it wasn't something that that I was able to do at that age, which I'm kind of glad, because it shaped me into the guitar player that I am, rather than learning what, you know, type of guitar player somebody else thinks I should be.
What sort of shocked you the most about going on the road as a guitarist?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I did my first national tour at 15. I'm 31 now, so 16 years of doing it. Nothing really shocks me anymore.
But you're 16 years old, and you're being, you know, okay, now I'm going from living at home or whatever to all of a sudden I'm on the road. There had to be some things you went like, oh my God, like, what the hell's happening?
I'm sure there were. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything that really, like, you know, okay. I was back then, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old. I was on the road with my best friends, 4 girls out on tour by ourselves.
Wow.
No parent, no tech, you know. We loaded our own equipment. We drove ourselves overnight. We slept in the back of vans. You know, when we had a hotel room, we shared it 4 to 1 room. And it was like a big slumber party. And it kind of still is, except I get my own hotel room now. You know, like, it's, you know, you go on tour with bands and you're a family. And there wasn't too much culture shock. I guess the real thing that I shouldn't say it shocked me, but something that would shock a lot of people is how nice everybody is. You know, in the music industry, it gets a really bad rap for people saying, you know, it's a man's world and women aren't treated well, and, you know, and that can definitely happen. It can definitely be true. But, you know, my experience has always been so positive because I came in and as a guitar player, I never came in as anybody's girlfriend or anybody's friend or anything. Like, I was always on the road with a band playing guitar, and everyone treated me like that.
You do several things in addition to working with Alice Cooper. You have some other projects going. Why don't you kind of give us a rundown of your plethora there? Because you're doing clinics and all kinds of stuff.
How much time do we have? So my signature guitar just launched with Ibanez Guitars, which I'm very, very beyond thrilled and honored to have that out now. Because I am the first female guitar player ever to have a signature series with them.
Oh,
so that was
cool.
A huge, huge step for me. So I'm going to be doing a lot of clinics, a lot of promo around the release of the Jiva, which will be in stores this summer. Also, my signature DiMarzio Pandemonium pickups will be launching around the same time. They'll come standard on the Jiva guitar. I have my original band, We Start Wars, which is an all-female band, you know, kind of blending the sort of rock and metal worlds together, heavy music, but no, you know, not really any screaming, mostly just melodic singing. So I'm going to be recording with them when I get off this tour in April. I have my cover band, the Starbreakers, which is myself and Courtney from the Iron Maidens, Jill Janis from Huntress, and my drummer, Lindsay from We Start Wars, and Emily Ruvidich playing bass. And that's just classic metal covers, Ozzy, Priest, Maiden, you know, the list goes on. And I am working on my debut solo record. I've been writing and recording that, working on the music for that for the past several months. So once I get off this tour ends next week, and I will be able to actually really focus in on writing and recording that.
And this is going to be an instrumental album?
My solo record will be instrumental, yeah.
I got you. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and check out Pandemonium. Now, this is We Start Wars, correct?
No, that's
no.
My solo music.
Oh, it's just okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just giving it all
you won't
here.
Hear any singing in it.
No, nobody knows singing. Okay, but let's just rock out to Pandemonium here for a bit. This is Pandemonium, right. Nita Strauss on the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. Okay, so you're a shredder. No, we couldn't get that from what your music. You do also do clinics. Could you talk a little bit about that? Like, kind of, what is a Nina Strauss clinic like, and what are the sort of typical questions and stuff that you get from guitar players?
Sure. So a guitar clinic, for those that aren't familiar, is basically like a masterclass. Mine are pretty freeform. You know, I don't have a specific lesson plan that I set out. Mine is sort of more like, excuse me, it's like jam talk. So I'll come out, I'll play a little bit, talk about my story, talk about my approach to the instrument, you know, because I have a pretty unique perspective on the business and, you know, what it takes to get to the level that I'm at as a female guitar player. And it's just, it's a different story than a lot of other ones you're going to hear. So I try to always kind of touch on the journey a little bit, but I really tailor each clinic to the people that are there. So sometimes I get really technical guitar players that want to know how I move from, you know, between modes or what technique I use on this solo and, you know, stuff like that. And then sometimes you get a lot of, you know, just musicians or music fans that just want to know, hey, what's the best way to, you know, what's the best way to get a gig in, you know, in this day and age? What do you think about social media and YouTube versus going out and touring and playing gigs and all that kind of stuff? So it's really just a way for me to pass on whatever knowledge would be helpful to the people that are there.
What do you think about that, YouTube? Because there are a lot of guitar players, drummers too, who are have gained like a healthy following. Now, I don't know, you know, how much merchandise they're selling or whatever, how they monetize that well, but who are, you know, because I watch a lot of their channels myself. What do you feel about that? Just so you can give us a sort of 2-minute explanation. You don't have to go into too much detail, but just overall.
I think social media and YouTube and all that is very, very important. Definitely, you know, it's 2018, but I don't think it's any substitute for going out there and playing shows. You know, a lot of people, you know, judging from what I hear in my clinics, a lot of people think it's enough to just be on social media and put videos up of yourself playing in your own studio or in your own house. And while I think that's awesome, and I learn a lot from those videos, yeah. You know, I watch a lot of YouTube guitar players too, and I pick up some licks. Like, you know, it's fun. And I, you know, I watch drum videos too. My boyfriend Josh is a drummer, and he's always watching drum videos, and it's cool to see. But, you know, I don't think that it is a substitute for going out there and being on the road and playing in front of people. And it definitely doesn't prepare you for that experience. Hmm. Because playing live is, I always say playing live is 10% what you play and 90% how you react.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, there's stuff is going to happen. You know, a cable is going to be unplugged. You're going to drop your pick. Someone's going to, you know, distract you from right. the audience or whatever mm-hmm. it is. You have to be able to roll with the punches, where if you're just playing at home or in your own studio, it's an isolated situation. Yeah. You know, there's no distractions there. There's, you know, there's nothing really that's going to throw you off. So I think it's important to do both, most definitely.
I got to know what your thought on this is, because, you know, there's been so much music that has happened since rock as we think of it happened, post Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Van Halen, you know, Guns N' Roses, then the grunge thing, and then, you know, up to bands like the White Stripes and Black Keys and stuff like that. Where do we take rock and roll? I got a lot of, you know, because my whole thing is rock, and I got a lot of fans and a lot of friends who are like, you know, telling me, well, boy, it all kind of starts to sound the same after a while. So where do we take rock music? And I'm talking about, what I mean by that is the heavy guitar oriented type rock, not, you know, because technically if you play a guitar, you can call yourself a rocker. But I know a lot of indie bands that won't even use the word rock in what they do. So where do we go with rock? I mean, is there anything real, any new territory that we can find, or are we just, you know, are we just going to rehash what's already been done?
Oh my gosh. Well, anybody that says there's not anything new and innovative coming out isn't looking very hard.
Okay.
Because
go ahead. I just want to
hear.
There
are new and innovative bands, new innovative instruments and instrumentalists and musicians coming out all the time. I don't have any trouble being inspired and finding new things, new territories, new ways to reinvent the genre. You know, my band, We Start Wars, is an all-female band. There's six people in the band. We have two guitar players, a keyboard player, I do the more guttural scream vocals. I have an amazing singer that does the clean vocals, and I haven't found it hard at all to branch out and find a style of our own that doesn't really sound like any other bands. So, you know, I guess to anybody that says that rock is stale and there's nothing new, maybe you should stop listening to the old stuff you've been listening to and put on a Spotify daily mix and find some new bands.
Woo, snap. I love it.
It's true, you know, like... There's that quote that was circulating around saying rock is dead. You know, I play 200 shows a year to sold out crowds of people, ranging from, you know, 500 people coming to see my band at the Whiskey to 100,000 people at a festival with Alice. And not one of them has the attitude that rock is dead.
Compare and contrast, if you could, for a second, because you've been all over the world. European audiences to American audiences.
Depends where you are in Europe and where you are in America.
Okay.
It's you know, it's it really is. You know, European audiences are really passionate, you know, but you go out to Houston or, you know, there's some amazing music cities here in the US that I think that you would be really hard pressed to find a crazier audience than an El Paso, Texas audience. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, you know, California is a little rough. New York's a little rough. You know, like
jaded.
The major cities in the U.S. are a little rough. But by and large, you know, the passionate music fans are everywhere. You know, you just have to know where to look for them. You know, I've played on 6 of the 7 continents. And I don't even know how many countries. And there's not one country that I can think of. Oh, yeah, the fans suck there. You know, like everywhere from Brazil to Chile, Argentina, here in the States, up in Canada are some of the most passionate Alice Cooper fans I've ever seen. You know, over in Japan and Asia, you know, I toured in Indonesia with Iron Maidens. And there were grown men crying in the front of the stage when we played Fear of the Dark. Like, you see passionate metal fans all over the world.
Advice for younger people coming into music. What would you, off the top of your head, something, mistakes to avoid or things they should do? Just.
Well, definitely, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I think it's important not to lean too much on the internet. You know, for going out there and making your name. Yes, it is important. It is important to have a good social media following. It is important to go out and interact with people. But I would say it's more important to go out and play shows. You know, I always tell kids at my clinics, play with any band that will have you, any musician that will let you get on stage, whether it's a coffee house, whether it's a battle of the bands at a school. Gosh, I can't even tell you how many high school battles of the bands I played at when I was in high school. So many, we would go to different schools and play in their battles of the bands, you know,
like
just to play, just to get that experience, you know, because when the time comes, when you do get that call from Bob Ezrin saying, hey, can you send in these three videos to play with Alice Cooper? You don't want that to be your first time stepping on a stage. You go, I don't have a wireless. I don't know how to hold my pick.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever it is, you know, I guess not that anyone would not know how to hold a pick, but, you know, play standing up, practice standing up because you're not going to be able to sit down on stage. Little things like that, going out and playing live and getting that experience will teach you more than you could ever learn at home.
Awesome. Great advice. So you've got solo albums, We Start Wars. Are you on tour right now with Alice? Is that what's going on? Because looking at your schedule.
Yes, I am in South Carolina right now.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for taking some time out to talk to us.
Absolutely.
If you got a minute to hang out, I need to do a little business with you when you're done. But real quick, tell everybody, tell everybody where they can find you on the internet so they can keep abreast of all the crazy and wildly varied projects you have going.
I am Hurricane Nita on all the social medias. You can always find me at Hurricane Nita, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And if you look on Facebook, I am Nita Strauss. And all the exciting happenings, everything else going on, will be on my website, nitastrauss.com.
Awesome. All right, Nita. Thank you so much for being with us today and sharing a bit of your story. Educational, fun, funny. Thank you so much. If you got a second, like I said, hang out. I'm gonna wrap up the podcast. I need to do a little thing with you before we're done, okay?
Okay.
Awesome. All right, guys. That was
Nita.
You're welcome. That was Nita Strauss on the road right now with Alice Cooper, taking out some time to talk to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, sharing her thoughts on rock and roll, where it is today, what's going on with young folks and how to get in, and, you know, make sure you get your asses up on an actual stage and play some guitar and don't just twiddle away in your room in front of YouTube. So All good advice, all informative, and great music on top of it. So hopefully you can catch Nita out on the road. I know that Alice is coming to Pittsburgh in September, so I'm going to definitely want to make sure I want to get out there and check out the show and see what see how Nita brings it alive and in person. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And check out all the stuff, all the websites that she mentioned there, so you can keep in touch with everything she's got going on. LouLombardiMusic.com/InnerCircle. If you'd like a little more behind-the-scenes stuff, you want to know a little bit more about riffs, you want to know a little bit more about how stuff's put together in music, you want to hang out with me as I work on my new project, check it out, LouLombardiMusic.com/InnerCircle. LoudiniRockAndRollCircus.com for all your hard rock and metal needs throughout the week and throughout the months. Check that out. All right, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Thanks to Nita Strauss for being here. Guys, just remember, keep listening to rock and roll. Let's keep it alive, and I'll catch you guys on the next Loudini Rock and Roll Circus.